I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I am Lee Lonsberry. We will be continuing these protests throughout the day. We are going to cover all the details as they become available to us, all of the understandings that emerge after the events of Saturday night, including a conversation I'm going to have just after 2:30 with U.S. Attorney John Huber here from the District of Utah. He has become a good friend of this program and a good friend to justice. I am always grateful to hear from the U.S. Attorney, and today we'll be speaking specifically about the Joint Terrorism Task Force and how it applies to the events of Saturday night. He'll explain why some of the crimes which have been witnessed in various media coverages and videos and such like that may qualify the offenders for federal prosecution. We'll get the details from U.S. Attorney John Huber just after 2:30 today. In the meantime, though, I am pleased to be joined by Scott Howell, a good friend of mine. Sir, how are you?
Hey, Lee. I am still kind of in awe of what happened in our capital city over the weekend. I don't know what words to describe it. I was writing in my journal Sunday night, and I said that this was historical and not in a good historical way. But I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I was flabbergasted. It took the breath out of me. It really did. And I heard you live commentary, watching from your balcony, it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, it was gut-punching to me that this thing got so out of control. And I just, I cannot believe that our capital city is gone that route. I don't know what to say, Lee. I mean, it's just amazing.
When faced with, you know, sadness and dark chapters in history, I do what I can. Throughout the course of this coronavirus, I've been trying to look for bright spots, silver linings, anything that shows off the goodness in our society. And I think that I did see a few instances of that over the weekend. I saw law enforcement, for the most part, operating in a wonderfully peaceful and methodical fashion, driving back the protesters, minimizing harm caused to people and property. I also saw some of the protesters themselves standing up to others within their own group when things were getting out of hand. Were you able to witness some at least bright spots?
I was, and you're absolutely right. And I give kudos to every law enforcement in our state that was down there to take the abuse, both physical and verbal abuse that they were assaulted to, is beyond my belief. Lee, how they constrained themselves and how they held back. Now, yeah, there was one instance of the individual that they got pushed down, the older gentleman, and they went over and lifted him up, and the chief has dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to give triple stars to our Utah Highway Patrol at the Capitol. You know, that's personal to me.
Yeah.
That's my building. That's where I have seen justice take place in that building. And I've heard both sides of the aisle and both sides of people's opinions talking about how laws can change and affect them and come together. But when I saw how well some of those protesters reacted, and I saw a young woman say, please, please don't do that. Please do not do that. And the wanton disregard for her, and what I was concerned about, is that they might turn and attack that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy with the bow and arrow, oh, my goodness. I mean, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, that was just so far out of nowhere land. And, you know, we're not going to take the law into our own hands. And, you know, for him to point that at something, that's a dangerous weapon. And I saw that whole thing. So there are silver linings. I think the mayor was quick to point out that transparency is key, and I think that that's something that's good. I know Vice President Biden has been very active. Even just a half hour ago, he had four of the mayors of the major cities that were on a live broadcast. He keeps calling that that George Floyd would never want to be remembered in a way that caused wanton destruction to our country. George Floyd would want something that brought change to our community, change to the system. And the vice president has been hammering that home. He wants justice for George. He wants institutional reforms across the board. He pursued urgency, and he really became very emotional when he talked about the cycles of violence that have been happening. It's not right. And he's committed, if elected president, that he will make this his number one issue to deal with the social injustice in our country today.
Well, thank you for bringing up former Vice President Biden. This is the reason for our conversation today, and it stems from some polling results which came out not too long ago, and I've been looking for an opportunity to speak with you about them. Depending on how you analyze the numbers, either Joe Biden is ahead by a few points or there is a statistical tie between the presumptive nominee Joe Biden and President Donald Trump in what would be a November election. How does that strike you?
Well, of course, when you look at those numbers objectively, and I really appreciate the way you said that, it really comes down to a statistical tie. And I think what's happening right now is that people are questioning the president. I think when he came out and said that he didn't want any fact-checking or any First Amendment taken away from him, for Twitter to make that comment, I'm all about fact-checking. And, you know, you as a commentator, you get your facts every day. You start a program by going through and looking at both sides and dealing in facts. And that has not been happening with this president. And I think what people are starting to realize is that the president just cannot stay focused on the truth. It seems to be when he's on script, and I can tell when he's on the teleprompter, his facts are all in line, and he really comes across very well, in my opinion. But, boy, when he starts shooting from the cuff and looting his shooting time, that was just kind of a nuclear bomb to go in there and put both sides in a situation where it wasn't healthy for any American citizen, let alone our Constitution. Yeah. So I look at it that way. I think you might have seen this morning the poll from Bob Burnick at Utah Policy that said actually his favoritism is starting to go down. They've done a good job, I think, of polling and trying to figure out exactly where he is and what's going on with him. So for me, it's just one of those issues that we keep saying that, you know, you might not think that Joe's the very best person in the world, and he's got his faults. I'll be the first to say that. But I think we'd have a president who's got experience and understanding and would do the job that I hope our country would be unified in the future and start to come back together again.
All right, Scott Howell, we'll have to leave it at that. Thank you for your time. I apologize to you for having to witness that desecration of the Utah State Capitol. I know that you invested much of your time serving the people of Utah from that very building, and I can only imagine how it must hurt you to see the vandalism sustained by that building, but also on the flip side, as volunteers emerged yesterday morning to restore it to its current state, which is pristine and clean. Scott Howell, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Lee, and keep up the great work. We really appreciate it. And thank you to all those volunteers for your great work. Big shout out to the Other Side Academy, and we appreciate what you guys did yesterday. Thanks,
right,
Lee. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Scott. We're going to, in a moment, take a break. And when we return, I've been looking forward to this conversation all day long. I'm going to be speaking with U.S. Attorney John Huber. I've mentioned he's become quite a friend of this program. We touch base from time to time on things that impact this community and have a federal nexus. When federal laws are broken, he's the man to handle it. And it turns out, after reviewing much of the footage we gathered over the weekend in downtown Salt Lake City, there may be those amongst the protesters guilty of federal crimes worthy of prosecution by U.S. Attorney John Huber. My guest next on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.